Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for joining us. So I was setting up several future shows yesterday afternoon. I had a bunch of great meetings. And one that I'm really excited about, a female executive, really well known in the community, with just an inspirational story. And until I confirm the date, this is just a little bit of a tease. But she said something to me that really hit me as we were talking and just prepping for the show. She said she's just been through so much in her life, so much in her business career, that she just said, you know what, Jeff, I've decided to love everyone. At least that's her daily goal. She told me she doesn't necessarily have to like everyone and everything, but love is her goal. And you know what? Heading into Easter weekend sounds like a pretty good mantra to me. And I love all of our shows, but we love the future, so we're ready to go. Thursdays on the Upswing are all about the future. Fast Forward, the future of almost everything in Wisconsin. Business, events, work, products. Today, we're talking scoreboards, brands, gadgets, thrifting, and we'll talk a little bit about the future of beer advertising. Is it going back to the past? Once again, Steve Glenn, the chief Milwaukee officer from Experience Milwaukee, and Text MKE and Martin Moore, content creator, podcaster, YouTuber, all things costs, headphones, joins us today.
So, hey, boys.
Welcome.
How's
Thanks
everyone
for taking
doing?
The time.
Oh, it's great to be back.
All right. Very good. So, as Vince just mentioned on the news, the Brewers opening day is upon us. Tuesday is the home opener at MFAM Field. They just debuted a ton of new fan experience things, including
a giant,
huge 14,800 square feet of new LED scoreboards.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it in person. I've seen many videos and
it's
heard
impressive.
Many stories. It's
yeah.
amazing.
I'm surprised
it's
they went so small.
I tried to get the old one.
Oh, yeah,
they
you
wouldn't
did?
Give it to
okay.
me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put that in the basement?
Yeah, somewhere.
So what does the future of sponsorship and fan experience look like for you guys at baseball games?
I think it's going to be interesting with this new scoreboard, what they're planning to do. I'm literally texting right now as we're sitting here, the head of all things IT and tech with the Milwaukee Brewers to see if he can share any secrets about how this is going to happen. But one thing I do know is there's going to be more interactive fan content on that giant screen, which is that'll be really cool.
Yeah, I talked to Brewers President of Business Operations Rick Schlesinger. He'll be on the show Tuesday. We talked about all the things that are available to them now. Obviously, enhanced replays are going to be great for the fans because it's something sometimes when you're at the game, you miss that experience and pulling it up on your phone just isn't the same. So having it huge in front of you really brings you into the game.
I think one of the big things when I'm watching sports live at the venue versus at home is like you're so conditioned to that TV experience and like just like the play-by-play and the announcing and you know exactly what's going on versus like you check a text message and you look up, all of a sudden there's like a home run, you don't know what happened. So I really think kind of like bringing that home experience to that big screen is going to be huge. And then combining that with the phone and an app to give a much more immersive experience where you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
So I checked this out a little bit. 70 million fans, more than 70 million fans attended games in 2023, which was like, I think, in one of the all-time highs. And how many of those fans are playing fantasy baseball? What will these scoreboard or ballpark experiences do to bring more of those stat real-time multi-game, multiplayer information?
More data, a better experience. And this scoreboard will be the highest resolution board in Major League Baseball, and it's the fifth largest in the league. So full of opportunity, not only for the fans, but for sponsors. All right, when we come back after the break, we are going to talk about brand development. No. We're going to talk about the future of beer advertising first. That ties in better to baseball.
I like
Is beer.
Beer
advertising going back to the past? This is the Upswing, the future of everything. We'll be right back. We're back. This is the upswing, the future of almost everything in Wisconsin, with opening day, then the home opener Tuesday, and the Brewers opener tomorrow. Obviously getting rained out today in New York, but we'll be on the air tomorrow. There are a lot of local connections and entities in these topics that we do with the future of everything. Today, Molson Coors, Miller Lite, the future of beer advertising. Is it going back to the past? Now, Miller Lite has brought back its Taste Great, Less Filling campaign. I'm just wondering, is it going to connect with the younger generation? And I don't know, when does nostalgia kind of stop being nostalgic?
I think it's such a classic. This, my opinion, is such a classic. There's so much goodness to tap into on this campaign. I'm for it.
Yeah.
And I'm an old schooler, but I think it's going to be a way to bring some youngsters back into the brand who are, you know, the hipster youngsters who are drinking Blatz and other things that I don't want to mention. But
Blatz.
Yeah. Well, right. And you've seen with some of the bigger beer brands when they take in, you know, risks to go this way or that way, that maybe it's hurt them a little bit. So kind of getting back to what you know might be the way to go.
It's a gamble. And, you know, with the whole like retro vintage kind of vibe that's going on in the last few years, like I've seen a lot of brands that have been leaning into to their roots, whether it's a logo or it's a trademark, you know, theme or something like that, or a song. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Beer is an interesting one just because of the hard seltzer push that we've seen over the last few years. I don't know, that's what like college kids are drinking, and it's going to be a gamble. I don't know. You know what? Try it. If it doesn't work, well, then you just go back to what you were doing.
Exactly, right. I did a test market of three last weekend. Right. I showed it to two seniors in college and one grad student and gave no context and said, watch this spot and let me know what you think. And it was interesting. None of them knew Taste Great, Less Filling. They just had no concept.
It's new to them, right?
It's totally new to them, which made me think, wow, that's great. So you're hitting that audience with something brand new, but then you're tapping into the nostalgia with people over 35 and 40. So that's kind of the beauty of the marketing.
I love it. You know how many gallons of beer are consumed in the USA every year? 6.4 billion.
Wow.
So this is a big game that is being played here. And what I wonder when we think about the future of advertising and the younger people they're going after, how does e-commerce play a role in this and all the conveniences we have and all the other aspects of our lives into beer, which you can't ship places that I'm aware of right now?
No, you can't. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. I mentioned this a couple of times. I 14, 15 years ago asked Dick Leinkugel what the future of beer is. He said, one, it's e-commerce. Two, it's NA. And, you know, how do you integrate light beer being already lower alcohol by volume?
Right.
But not NA, but is that what the consumers want? How do you integrate some of those, quote, health messages into
beer?
Into this new slogan.
I drink NA Coronas.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
I can't
tell the difference.
NA beer is flying off the shelves in the places I hang out or the hop water, whatever.
Yep, my wife drinks hop water.
Yeah. So, that's interesting because the convenience matters, health matters, and the youngsters who I see drinking some of these brands want all of these things that they expect in every other aspect of the world.
Yeah, and then you bring in the celebrities like Miller Lite is doing with Mia Hamm, Jorge Posada, Indiana star Reggie Miller, who on the Bucks broadcast the other day on TNT, I thought he had a little Lakers bias, but that's just me. That's okay.
A little.
I can just
hold a
little
man, Reggie Miller.
And Big Poppy. And then you have the Wisconsin connection with Taste Great, Less Filling with Wisconsin Badgers and NFL defensive end. Pewaukee native J.J. Watt. So you're bringing in some star power to sell beer to, and I think that's going to work for him.
I think one of the big questions is going to be how do you get, because most of the beer companies have been losing to like hard seltzer and sales have been going down. And as someone like me who drinks, like I would say probably more than the average, I don't drink beer other than like NAs every once in a while. I just don't drink beer. So how do you capture my attention and the people that aren't already messing with some of these brands? How are you going to get me to try your beer?
And I think that's where this nostalgia piece has worked on me. I have High Life and Light in my home as we speak, And I've been ordering it out and about with mostly with my hockey guys, but out and about, I've been wanting to just kind of have a simple beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting back to the roots.
Just, right. I was just going to say,
getting back to the roots, but always keeping our eye on the future. Next up, we're going to talk brand building and how AI is going to impact what brands need to know looking into the future. This is The Future of Everything with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn on The Upswing. We're back. This is The Upswing. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. A quick show note. I'm off tomorrow. I'll be in Madison having lunch with the family, celebrating Dad's birthday a little late and my daughter's birthday. Steve Scafidi will keep the mic after his show and has a really special guest who, I don't know, I got to look out, who just happens to be a former boss of mine. Ooh, so, I don't know, they're probably going to have some stories, but H. Carl Miller, a great guy, will have wonderful stories about lobbying, public relations, and journalism in his storied career in Milwaukee. So, brand building. Do you know what AI is saying about your brand? A couple big companies in this space, a former Nestle executive and former VP of core products at Paycor, have a new startup called BrandRank AI that gives businesses insights and guidance into what they need to look at from protection and how they can grow their brands in the age of AI. Yesterday, we had Teddy Nichol on from the Business Journal. She talked about a Wisconsin company, Midpoint Consulting, that just pivoted into AI strategy in consulting for companies. So there's just so much. Companies are looking, you know, how do you play offense and defense at the same time? Because we don't know what we don't know. You know, how can brands discern the benefits from the buzz?
I think it's going to be really interesting to someone who works in marketing with costs. You know, we use AI already for a handful of things. But I think where it's really going to be advantageous is finding trends that you otherwise might need tons of manpower to find, and using AI to sort of figure out where to market, when to market, what time to market, what time of year to market, and then using machine learning so that it can, you know, take the data over, you know, years and years and years and months to really hone in and fine tune where those ad dollars are going to be spent, rather than kind of fishing with dynamite, which is what a lot of brands do now, where they just kind of blast advertise and then see kind of what sticks. You can get much more hyper-targeted with AI.
Do you have any concerns with like counterfeits or unauthorized use of cost products in ads or with influencers? Is that something you monitor?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of copycat products, and we've seen some on Alibaba and all this stuff. But I mean, every brand has that. You can find fake iPhones and fake watches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing I've heard from some national and local authors is that their products, their end new books are getting repurposed so quickly and sold under other names and under their name for a little less money.
It's very easy.
And it's taken away
and
dollars.
Very cheap to copy and manufacture something. I remember when the Apple Vision Pro came out and there was already counterfeits like a couple days later. Like how can you possibly get all the dyes and stuff to make all that? And
So Steve, are you seeing, do you think AI departments are coming to companies?
Oh, for sure. If they're not already there. Yes.
Yeah.
When the question was posed and future of brand building challenges with AI, I went to the other side of things. Not the building, what should we build the brand to be? How do you build the brand once it's out in the world? And that's where I worry the most, and for a couple of reasons. One, counterfeiting experiences. Yeah. It's all about experience. And what I keep hearing when it's a more personal experience, what I keep hearing is humans want to interact with humans.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want AI to take over the experience part of it. Now, just answering questions back and forth.
Right.
Cool. But even so, Derek Hyde from the Milwaukee Brewers just texted in.
Nice. All right.
And the scoreboard, which we talked about on the previous segment, future of scoreboards, that is using AI as part of the experience in processing the video and how people experience a game.
Hmm.
interesting. It's, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, having that real-time data is really important. I want to get to Visit Milwaukee is launching a, it's kind of a peek behind the data and strategy into its new brand.
Yes.
It's coming at an event on April 16th. We can talk about this in the next segment, but you talk about the future of a Milwaukee brand and how it's anchored to the present and the past.
Right.
What are you hearing in terms of what Visit Milwaukee can roll, will roll out? Anything? Got any insights for us, Steve?
Nothing I can share. In confidence, I've gotten the scoop on where it's going, what language is being used, all of that, which is awesome. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I think it's going to tap into obviously the evolving food scene. We talked last week about that. But, you know, for a city that's 178 years young, we need some fresh juju.
Yeah, and it will be more about, I think, the brand tenets, the messaging, the positioning, and moving forward. It's not going to be the unveiling of a brand new slogan or thing. It's going to be about, hey, how do we continue to position our community in the right way?
Right.
Very good. All right. Well, coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the future of the Milwaukee brand. I also have a wonderful company that is looking to protect your drink in the bars as you head out. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Martin, I wanted to give you an opportunity to chime in on the Milwaukee brand next month, April 16th. The unveiling of Visit Milwaukee's new brand will include a peek behind the data and strategy. We're going to hear from all the key leaders in terms of what the future of the Milwaukee brand will look like. What are some of the key messages and tenets you want to see coming out of that meeting?
I find it very fascinating that it's going to be an unveiling of the Milwaukee brand, and it's being done on the 16th. And not the 14th.
Well, that's a Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a Sunday.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey, you got to take advantage. 4-1-4-day.
It only happens, last time I checked, once a year.
Yes. There's lots of Milwaukee Day things coming on 4-1-4-day.
What was the question?
Yes.
What are some of the key messages you talk about when you're talking about the city?
I think as someone who's been to all 50 states and basically every major city in the United States, Milwaukee is, in my opinion, a top 10 city. You know, you have casinos, great restaurants, bars, all that stuff. But the lake, the people, the walkability, the culture here, it's very, very unique. Like, you can just step foot in the city and you can just feel that it's something different and it's very welcoming. And I think that's one of the messages that I think really sort of gets lost in translation when people talk about Milwaukee. We're Milwaukee, the next stop Chicago. We're on the way, and to really kind of sell the idea that we're not just an up and coming city. I'm sick of hearing that Milwaukee's an up and coming city. Like, we were an up and coming city when I was vlogging in 2015, 2016. We are like a legit city now with championships and tons of restaurants and things to do. And so I think just really celebrating what we currently have and not even so much looking to the future. We're in the future right now. This is the future that I saw for Milwaukee back when I was one of the handful of ambassadors for the city. And so I think celebrating that and leaning into that.
I think that's some of the things we'll see. You know, we are here, we have arrived, and there is this wonderful lack of pretense in this state and this city that we need to continue to embrace. And I think that can be marketed.
Nobody wants to go to the city that's going to be cool in 10 years or going to be cool in 15 years. I want to go to the city that's where it's happening right now. And I think that's what really needs to be pushed and celebrated and marketed is what do we have right now? And I think that'll serve us very well.
And I think we've got, here's a key. So Jeff, I'll answer your question. You did not ask me, which was some of the other things I think should have to come through. The arts scene, the arts and performing arts are an amazing part of this city that we kind of overlook. And I know we talk about these other things, other aspects a lot, which are very important too. And I think something that isn't as visible all the time, although you feel it when you're moving around the city, is infrastructure. And the way that the infrastructure in the city keeps us small-walkie. And what I mean by that is it keeps us closer together and connected. And that is something you can't, I've not seen very much, very often replicated in other cities and people from other cities.
Yeah, there's something truly beautiful about bars and churches on every corner across the state of Wisconsin that we maybe take for granted, but it builds this wonderful sense of community and togetherness that when people come to our state, they're like, wow. How's this happen? Well, it's because of stuff like that.
Yeah. Right.
There's a camaraderie here. Yeah. And whether it's people that you run into that you know or people that you don't even know, you can quickly develop a relationship. There's so many cities I go to where, God forbid, you say, hi,
or good morning.
How are you doing? Yeah. Good morning. And they, like, New York City, and they look at you like you're a crazy person. That doesn't happen here. And that's just one of, like, myriad examples of just how our culture and the people here are really what makes Milwaukee, Milwaukee. It's not the art museum. It's not the lakefront. It's not, you know, all these things. It's the people that have really made this city what it is and is going to continue making this city.
Those other things help.
Yeah, they do help. Good. They do help, but they're not the foundation of
the people
the city.
Activate them and make it
exactly 100%. 100%.
When we come back, we're going to talk gadgets, and we're going to talk about a new gadget called Nightcap that's expanding nationally and probably coming to Milwaukee soon. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. As we head into the summer bar season, there is a Shark Tank invested startup called Nightcap that's expanding nationally, most likely coming to the Milwaukee area soon. So it's a stretchy drink covering that's used to keep out bugs, debris, unfortunately drugs,
other things.
Put it over your drink when you're out at bars. Right now Forever 21 has it in all of its stores, but it's expanding nationally into a bunch of different retailers. What are you hearing in this kind of safety of out and about drinking space?
It's so, as someone who has consumed a number of bugs in my drinks,
what's your favorite
outside?
Are you a bee guy? Flies?
Yeah, they scare me.
Gnats?
Yeah, no, none of those. But it's super interesting to think about. Even just getting up, there's a lot of times I'm hanging out, working somewhere, even getting up and walking. You know, if you got to run to the restroom and come back, you don't know what someone has walked by and done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm 100% convinced when I was in San Francisco, probably 10 years ago, I was roofied.
At a bar?
It wasn't
at a bar. Me and my wife and my sister, we all went into this bar, and I remember ordering one vodka cranberry. And then we all woke up the next day and none of us remembered anything.
Mm. Yeah, it's
scary.
And even in, you know, let's relate it to tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
You leave, you walk away, you keep your drink on the table. You don't want people picking it up or stealing it, but you don't want people putting stuff in it. So there's some interesting branding opportunities for teams and sponsors to use these kind of koozie type things to cover our drinks.
Billboard,
Do you remember when Coors Light brought out that thing where the mountains would change colors to let you know when it was cold?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be interesting? And I'm just believe it or not, I don't know anything about designing futuristic sci-fi beer cans. But wouldn't that be cool if you could have a beer can or a hard seltzer can that would tell you, it could test it and on the front and just tell you that there's something in it. Like it's not all beer. There's some sort of chemical in it. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Something like
possible.
That would be really advantageous.
It's just a $20 beer then.
That's right. Yeah, the expenses get a little higher
smart
there.
Smart beer, smart Coors, well, smart beer.
That's a good segue. You know, what are some of the other gadgets you'd like to see incubated and founded here in Wisconsin? What are some of the solutions we want to solve through gadgets?
You're a total gadget guy. You probably got a list of these things.
I don't actually. I mean, it's really, for me, it's my watch stuff. Like, what more health data can I get, as the world is getting more and more health conscious? Or I shouldn't say the world, the United States, the rest of the world is rather healthy. It would be great to just get more metrics on my wrist and, talking about alcohol, if there's some way that they could do some sort of blood alcohol sensor, that would be really beneficial, where it would tap you or it could shut you out of your car or something.
Yeah. I have two.
Okay.
One relates to, utilizing an existing gadget like that, your watch or your phone. I've been at bars, and we're staying on the bar theme, future of the drinking at bars. When it's 3, 4, 5 deep and you can't get close to even get a cocktail. Now, I'm not always in these situations, but there was an app that was Milwaukee based and founded called, I believe, Tapper, where you could order from your phone and it would produce a unique light color, and you'd match up your phone to the bartender's phone and get your drink. I think that would be awesome.
Wow.
Because you can sit and chill, and you're not standing in...
This is
in
Wisconsin
or
Milwaukee?
Yeah, that was in Milwaukee.
Boy, that is definitely something is like the drunkest city on planet Earth that we would invent. How to get your booze faster.
If I go back a couple of weeks on this show, we were talking about safety, future of safety, future of walking through the city. I would love a gadget that would sense cars' movement while you're walking or biking through the city and kind of give you a little vibration or alert.
Very good.
Something's in your blind spot.
That would be nice.
All right. We'll come back after the last break and wrap up our conversation, The Future of Almost Everything, with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Welcome back. The future always goes really fast here on The Upswing. A fun, lively conversation today, as always. Let's quickly give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. As I always say, the Sherman family, we live in the North Shore of Milwaukee, but the Mineshaft in Hartford is a staple and pretty easy for us to get away, get the kids out of the attic, get them away from the Xbox into the huge $2 million game room like the one at the Mineshaft. Really great pizza, too. So mom and dad are really cool with having the kids hang out up in the game room. We'll sit at the bar, maybe have a cocktail or two. Caller number six at 855-616-1620. 620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft, and a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. So how do you guys properly hydrate? Is it you have your favorite water bottle? Is it, you know what, I'm just going to go for the plastic, I'm going to go for the convenience? But let me give you a little background. There's a Chicago-based startup that's making a big splash in the water industry, and they just did a deal with the Water Council of Milwaukee. It's essentially a disposable single-use, getting rid of the disposable single-use plastic bottles, but a vending machine that's a closed-loop bottling plant, cleaning mechanism, put whatever kind of sparkly or still water you want in, and they're selling this to companies to make it easy to clean those water bottles, but also get you a fresh, tasty beverage.
That's the pickle, is cleaning it. Like,
yes.
My work one will sometimes sit for like a week, and then I'll get it, and I'll be like, and then I got to run to the bathroom, and then I'll put like hand sanitizer in it, and then like rinse it out, or whatever weird thing I can do to clean it. But I use in the morning, I have a glass one that I use, and then I have a stainless steel one at work. I try to really avoid plastic water bottles. Did you see that study they did a couple months ago where they like tested the blood on like 100 people and they had concerning amounts of microplastic in their blood? I ain't trying to be a statistic.
Yeah, that is true.
So is it bad that most of my water comes in the form of like a glass at a bar and I'm sitting at most days?
It depends how you define bad. But
no, I have a couple of mobile water devices that I just don't. It's easier for me just to scoop it up at the place I'm at, wherever I'm working.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I'm kind of, I succumb to whatever people are providing at their place of business.
I do my best to carry around a stainless steel container, but reality is convenience usually drives that decision. So, but if there's a vending machine at the business where I could clean that water bottle,
totally,
get easy options, and fill make it easier and convenient, I think it's with everything. Convenience drives.
Right on.
It's hard, especially when you're at like sporting venues and places where like bottled water is your only option. It's just like,
well, you're seeing a lot of local retailers go to the canned water option.
I just had that still water.
Yeah.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
Instead of the plastic water bottles. So I think that's the wave of the future for sure.
Right on.
All right. Very good. Are you guys going to opening day?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
I have tickets.
I'm a Bucks season ticket holder, so my schedule is already jam-packed. I can't sneak Brewers games right now in.
No? Okay.
I'm going to try.
You're going to try? All right. Very good. Predictions for the season. Martin, I know you're not a huge baseball fan, but...
That's an understatement. No. I am not a baseball fan.
Okay. All right.
Steve, all Bucks and Packers.
Any Brewers predictions as we go?
I'm very hopeful.
You're very hopeful. Spring always hope is hopeful.
Yes, agreed.
Very good. All right. Thank you to Steve Glenn
and Martin Moore. It is the future of almost everything on Thursdays here on The Upswing. A friendly reminder, I'm off tomorrow. Steve Scafidi will fill in with H. Carl Miller as his special guest, a former boss of mine, so they're going to have a fun, fun discussion, that's for sure. Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Michael Spaulding is coming up next. We will see you on Monday.